Good afternoon. At least it's afternoon. It's 4:20 in the afternoon on Wednesday, February 28th, the last day in February of 2024. And Mom and I are answering the very last of Mikkel Thompson's questions, and which is a toughie. What was the most important lesson we have learned in our lives? And I think, to sum up my life at least, the most learning in my life came from my failures. And I failed so many times, it's hard to pick out what was my biggest failure. But as always, Grandma's going to start with hers first. Grandma?
Well, I would think that the most important thing I have learned in my life, that is, I have to put God first before everything else. And after that, everything follows in the right sequence. I think we all need to learn that lesson. You know, there's lots of things that are important in our life, our families, our spouses, especially our children and grandchildren and extended family. But if you don't put God first, things just don't go together like they should. So that's one of the things, and I'll let Papa expand on that.
Well, you know, it's funny, you and I did not rehearse this. We're talking spontaneously on this question, and I was kind of interested to see what you would say, because that's the exact same topic lesson that I learned in my life was, if God is not at the center of your life, as Mom, Grandma just so eloquently said, nothing else is ever going to line up right. And I guess the question is, well, how do you go about making God the center of your life? How is God first? And I remember one of the biblical pre-Christ instances where Christ told Abraham to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And the first time I heard that blew me away. I had no idea that God would ask one human being to kill another. That's against the sixth commandment. And yet he asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. And back then in the biblical times, sacrificing family members was not unusual. So by our
standards,
today's standards, that is almost unthinkable. But back in the pre-Christ days, it wasn't as shocking as it is today. But at the last minute, Christ saves Isaac and tells Abraham, no, Abraham, that was a test of your belief and trust in me, not the offering of your son on a sacrificial altar. And from that incident maybe is being asked today with Mikkel's question, or I'm sorry, Grandma's answer to Mikkel's question, which is, what's the biggest thing you learn in life? And that is putting God first. Because sorry, we had to take a pause there. You probably wouldn't notice that, but Anyway, going back to where I left off, the question, at least in my mind and through my life, was, well, how do we make God the center of our lives? And I remember Mom and I were married by Father Sheehan, who was my high school apologetics teacher. And when Father Sheehan, when we were going through our marriage process, pre-marriage process with Father Sheehan, he told us almost word for word the exact same thing. He said, if you make Christ God the center of your marriage, you will have a long, happy marriage. And now I had him, as I said, for a senior apologetics, which was a class where we debated the existence of God and all the arguments that non-believers would use to try to prove that God didn't exist or he wasn't who we said he was. But at any rate, because I went to a Catholic elementary and a Catholic high school and a Catholic college, going to church on Sunday and being a Catholic was just what I did, and I never thought about it. I never questioned it. And it wasn't until my early 20s that I began to question, well, wait a minute. What is this life about? What's my purpose here? You know, I look at some of the other forms of life and I ask myself, what is their purpose? And if we don't have a purpose in life, then we are no different, at least my reasoning went, than any other life form. Well, we know one thing, well, we know several things that humans do that animals can't. And one of is communication, but also humankind has a soul. And how do we prove that we have a soul when we can't see it? Nobody's ever had a gone to the doctor and had a soul taken out. And the answer to that question is because our soul is the spiritual aspect of our nature. And it's like I can't see gravity, but it's there. It works. I see evidence of it. And likewise, I remember my brother and I, when we were sitting in a hospital over on the east side of Detroit, when my mother was undergoing a very sensitive, possibly life-threatening heart procedure. We were sitting downstairs, and Gordon, my brother, asked me, or I asked him, actually, you know, we got talking about the afterlife. And I said, what do you mean by a human spirit? And we talked about that. And then he asked me a question that I've never forgot. He said, do you believe in evolution? And I said, yes, I do. I mean, that's obvious. The single-celled animals all the way up to humans. And not only are there different levels, but the life forms are complex. And Gordon said to me, well, then what makes you think you're the top of the food chain? What makes you think that life as we know it ends with a human life? And he said, what about spirits? And that led to a big, long talk that we don't have time for me to go into. But the point is, that was at that time that I really began to question, what is our purpose and in life? And in fact, it's one of the questions I asked on the very first page in our family history book that I wrote. I think all of us want to know, is this it? Is this the best we get in life? Is life about accumulating just all kinds of happy events to keep us happy? And then I would ask myself, well, how come I used to see bumper stickers that said I love my truck? And I used to say, yeah, I kind of like my car too. And then I, normal conversation, people say, well, you know, I love fudge, or I love hot dogs. I love to go shopping. I love to travel. I love to eat. And I'm thinking, whoa, wait a sec. What do they mean by that kind of love? That certainly isn't the kind of love that I'm thinking of when I say I love my wife. Am I saying she's equivalent to a hot dog? I love her like I love a hot dog or a piece of fudge? No. So that reason would let you assume that there is a higher form of love. And then, I don't want to turn this into a lecture, but the point is that it isn't until you begin to ask yourself those kinds of questions. And then the key is actively search answers for them, that you begin to find out what putting God at the center of your life means. And in my particular case, I'm 83 years old as we're doing this, and I was probably in my 60s before I kind of got this figured out, that God is this in science today supports the Catholic explanation that God created the universe. And we see how complicated and sophisticated it is. They now have the ability to take space instruments, objects, and fly them out into space and measure the furthest. They think they've measured the farthest place in our universe. And it's hundreds of millions of light years away. That's 100 million of years traveling at the speed of light to get there. Now, something like that, you ask yourself, what existed before the universe did? How everything that we know in our lives has to be given life, has to have a beginning. And if that's true, then who gave life in the beginning to the universe? Did it just happen? Well, there's too much order. Look at Grandma. We all learned from her stroke a whole lot about the brain. But I had two of Grandma's neurosurgeons tell me when I was trying to get them pinpointed on what was her problem and how was she going to respond and what was the damage going to be. Two of them at different times said, we, meaning neurosurgeons, know slightly less than 10% of how the brain functions. And if that is the case, and a neurosurgeon says that, then it would have to have been a superior creator to create that. I mean, you think about how we do things in life. We go to a doctor because they specialize in some form of medicine. Some of us specialize in teaching, or some of us specialize in cutting meat in their own fingers. Some of us specialize in salesmanship, etc. So I ask myself then, well, there has to be a higher life form. And then when you combine that with actively going out And studying the Bible and listening to podcasts about how religion began and where it began and why the Jews were the chosen people, etc., and how they lived and their experiences with supreme beings. And the fact that almost every major religion in the world recognizes a supreme being, then I think that puts the onus on us to find out, okay, if all these billions of people have looked or believe in a superior God or supreme being, I should say, and I'm not talking about the fantasy ones, I'm talking about supreme beings, they call them by different names, then all these people can't possibly be wrong. I'm not the smartest one that's ever lived. And throughout, even before the time of Christ, they believed in God. So if all you do is what I did for two-thirds of my life was just sit back and wait or assume, which was worse than waiting, just assume that there's going to be this big epiphany, this big come-to-Jesus meeting, and we're all going to, someday, the light bulb's going to come on, and we're going to say, oh, yeah, hi, Jesus. Or you read books like Life After Death, where people have had near-death experiences. Atheists have converted to Catholicism, trying to prove that God does not exist. And in doing that, they proved that he does. But it has to be an active process. You can't be standing out on the bus stop waiting for the bus to come. You have to go out. You can't go to church and expect to be entertained. It requires a commitment to finding the truth as you see it and according to your conscience and your values. So once I kind of figured that out, then you have to accept the fact that, hey, I'm not in control of my life. I didn't create my life. I can't change destiny. I can't like Jesus Christ. When he walked in, have you ever seen anybody die and come back to life? Jesus Christ is the only guy or the only person that ever did that. And he did it because he told his disciples, the people that were closest to him, I am the Son of God. And I have come to earth to make up for the original sins that were committed, because there isn't a human being that can pay that price, that has the capacity to pay the price of God, that God would demand. It would take a supreme being. And God sent his Son. And if that's true, then I figure it's time for me to start developing a relationship with him that will last for eternity.
I'm sure all of us have learned more than one lesson in life that is important to you. One lesson that I think I've learned, and I've tried to pass it down to the family, is to treat other people the way you want to be treated. And my famous saying is, kill them with kindness. And it works. If you try to be kind to everybody, it's awful hard for them to be argumentative or find fault with things, they do, But it's a good example that we could pass on to our family. And I think it's a big lesson to be learned, because if you walk down the street and you go by somebody you don't know, if you smile at them or say hi, what do you think they're going to do? They're not going to just turn their eyes down, and most people anyway, and not answer you. So you smile, they smile back. And if they pass that along to other people, just think what a happy world we'd have if everybody was trying to be especially kind and thoughtful and loving to everybody. So that's another lesson I think I've learned along the way. And it works.
Yeah, I've witnessed you doing that. My young self, I spent most of my life trying to keep control of everything in my life. And so maybe this is a corollary to what I said. I'm talking too much, but the other lesson I've learned is that I am not in control of my life. And once I accepted that fact, then my life, the stress went away, the worry went away about everything. And I think Tracy can attest to that. When we were walking down the hallway at Midland Hospital a couple of mornings after Mom's stroke, and she was still fighting for her life, and Tracy said, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, what do you think's going to happen to Mom? And I said, I don't know what's going to happen to her, but I do know I can't control it. And because I can't control it, I told her, and I don't know if you would remember, but I told our family about Mom's miracle. I said, last night, I had a conversation with God. And my exact words were, Lord, I can't fix this. This is beyond anything I can do. I'm going to turn it over to you. I'm asking you to please save our wife, our mother, our grandmother. We want her to continue to live with us. But if it's not your will, if you've got a different plan, I will accept that too. And once at that moment when Tracy asked me that question, I had absolute peace that no matter what happened, if Mom made it, I was going to be happy. And if God decided that her work was done here on earth, I was going to be happy with that, because I would know God wanted her with him. And he has our best interests at heart. So that would be the other lesson I've learned, that I'm not in control of my life. One final thought with the being in control. We as humans are, I think it's normal, natural, for us to try to be in control of our lives. And some people, of course, get carried away with that. But acknowledging that you don't have control is the ultimate act of humility. And it's the absolute proof to God that you acknowledge his existence and that we are dependent on his love for help. And it's almost backwards. The more you turn it over to God, the more peace and happiness you get from it. So I guess we would end our conversation on that point. Mikhail, thank you for sending us four questions that have taken us over a month to answer. And thank you to all of you who did send questions. We're going to get to them, each and every one of them, as we have time. We love you dearly. And we thank God every day in our prayers for all of you.
I think Papa said it all. We do hope that you get some answers to questions that you might have, and just enjoyed listening to some of the things in our life that may be important to you or get you to know us better. And we do love you all.
And one final thought. I always have one final thought. One more thing. We are so grateful to all of you that are listening to this, to every family member. You played an unbelievably important role in keeping Mom here with us. Your support and love that you displayed to her made her want to live. And that was important.
And mostly your prayers.
So thank you. You are beautiful people. And we love you.
Love you all. How to answer it.
Yeah. Oh.